As you grow your business, you're always going to have the owner role. You have to always do what's best for your business and what's best for you and your family personally. But at the end of the day, you're going to be going through making decisions that affect your sales manager hat, your project manager. There's a big difference between being an owner and wearing all the hats that you wear in your business and the intricacies of that. Welcome back to the Elite Business Advice Podcast. My name is Chris Moore. I'm the founder of Elite Business Advisors, your host for the podcast. Man, we had so much fun at PCA Expo last week. If you're listening to this, if you were there, you probably understand why my voice is still a little raspy. I'm not going to lie. I'm recording this Monday right after getting back. I know you guys are listening to this a week after, but I'm still trying to digest and get like everything soaked into my brain. And my voice is still never recovered. Although I do sound better than both of our advisors did in our team meeting this morning. So if you have never been to PCA Expo and you want to know what you missed out on, you missed coming home with a voice that's sounds like you smoke a pack or two a day. But man, it was awesome. I appreciate all the champions, Sherwin Williams for the event Thursday night, Benjamin Moore Wednesday night, PPG had an awesome event kickoff Monday night. For those of you guys that have been to a couple of expos, it's almost like a homecoming. I was talking to Corey Leister about it. It's literally like a homecoming when you get back and you get to go see all your friends, right? And you see people you only see maybe once, twice a year, maybe three times if you're lucky, right? Man, it's so much fun. And so thank you to all of you guys. And full disclosure, before I get into this episode, my brain is still fried, just like my voice half is. And this was actually what we're going to cover today. The mindset of an entrepreneur is actually a precursor to a new talk we're rolling out for our Sherwin-Williams events this year. And so I thought, you know what, like, what better way to figure out if this is a good idea or not than to do a podcast on it, right? And so this is going to go 15 different directions. FYI, this isn't a polished talk. This isn't a polished podcast that we threw together. This is me taking notes during Expo last week and saying like, man, I think this could be a whole nother talk we could add in about what it takes to be an entrepreneur as far as the mindset goes. Nicole Klein gave an awesome talk about mindset is everything last week and she crushed it. And so I wanted to kind of bring that into our podcast and then eventually add that in. Not her talk, don't get me wrong, but our own spin on the mindset of an entrepreneur, because you can learn and know how to do your finances and your marketing and your estimating and sales and recruiting and operations and everything else we talk about, and kind of the five key area of business we break things down into here on the show. But man, if your mindset's not right to be an entrepreneur, I don't know that a whole lot of that matters, right? Now, there's soft skills, there's hard skills. We talk so much about the tangible things, the systems, the data, the how-tos, the nitty-gritty, right? How do you job cost? We need labor and material systems to track. But we don't talk about the mindset of being an entrepreneur. There's a lot of little nuggets that came together that we're going to rapid fire through here today with you guys. And so I'm excited to see what happens. That's my precursor. I think it's going to be great. Sometimes these are some of our best episodes when Chris doesn't have like a detailed out plan with a whole bunch of stuff scripted out. It's just kind of a bullet pointed out list today with a couple of thoughts, and we're going to see where this goes. So there's my transparency. If you were at PCA Expo, you probably feel the same way I do coming home here today and getting back in the action of things. And I didn't want to wait another day to get this recorded so I could get this over to be edited. So I hope all of this helps. Thank you guys for plugging in. This is the Elite Business Advice Podcast. All right, so as we jump into the mindset of an entrepreneur, there's two books and or people that come to mind that I feel like I couldn't do an episode on this and not talk about these two individuals and their perspective on mindset and thinking. And number one, we've probably talked about this on the show a while ago, Robert Kiyosaki. Robert Kiyosaki wrote a book called The Cashflow Quadrant. And while Robert Kiyosaki is more of a real estate focused entrepreneur, coach, business person, right? You're going to hear him a lot about investments and real estate and stuff. He has a principle that I've seen apply to business a lot. And this is something we've talked about this at our Sherwin events ever since we started doing them. It's one of the first things, because I think it is important to get your mindset right, like I mentioned in the intro. And so Robert Kiyosaki said, you pretty much fall, everybody falls into one of four quadrants. If you're making money, you fall into one of four quadrants, right? And it's outlined around the time input and the money output. And so one of the quadrants is you're an employee, right? You trade your time for money. You work 40 hours a week. You get paid a, say, $20 an hour wage. You make $800 a week, right? The more time you put into it, the more money you can make, but you have to put time into it, right? And so a lot of people graduate from what he calls the E quadrant, the employee quadrant, down to the S quadrant, which is self-employed. The good thing about self-employed is it opens up your income potential, but it's still dependent on the time you put into it, right? And I always joke that when you're an employee, you have one boss. You become self-employed, now you have 50 to 100 bosses, depending on what industry you're in and how many clients you work for, right? Because now it's not one person writing your paycheck, it's every one of your clients, customers, whoever it is you're serving in your business as a self-employed person, right? And so it's still a time for money exchange, maybe at a little bit of a higher dollar value, but it's still dependent on you. Right. The next quadrant up and over to the right, if you're kind of thinking about this, that was top left, bottom left. Now we're going top right here for my visual people. The top right is a business owner. It's a business system, right? This is somebody that owns and has a system to produce income that's not dependent on your time inputs, right? This is where you can maybe have enough people hired. And really the test in all this and the bottom right quadrant is investor. That's really what Kiyosaki gets into. That's not really what I'm going to talk about today. Talk to my friends over at Olive Holdings about that if you really want to become kind of more the investor into your business and whatnot. But really what I want to focus on is that B-type business owner, right? Because they have a system put together, which typically for a painting contractor is going to consist of at least an office person, an estimator, and a project manager. If you can have those three overhead positions, you at least are in a spot to where you can have a system working for you that is not dependent upon your inputs. Now, I understand maybe you have a project manager, or maybe you have two project managers, an office person, and you and one other person are still doing the estimates, right? You're close. You're close. But really the key here, what Kiyosaki says the test is, we always share this, is if you left town for a week, actually, you know what? I'm going to say a month. Anybody can fake it for a week. It used to happen in my business all the time sometimes. If you leave town for a month, what happens to your business? Is it just in survival mode, or is it still just going like nothing happens, right? A lead comes in, the office person handles it, schedules it for the estimator. He sells the job. He coordinates it to the project manager. The project manager sees it through. You guys get a check. Chris is still in Cancun. Never been to Cancun, side note. That's a business system, right? Not, hey, I was on vacation for a week and all these leads came in and I got to do the estimates next week. You're still self-employed. Now, I'm not saying you're not on the path to being a business system and a business owner, but you're still self-employed because it's dependent upon you and your time. And the goal of this, to really see this test, and Kiyosaki might have taught it in the book, it's been a couple of years since I've read it, is you can leave town for a month, great. Can you leave town for 3 months, great. 6 months, great. A year. What's the time frame in which you can be gone and your business is still producing money? That's a true asset. So number one, where's your mindset? Are you in the employee mindset? Do you think everything's just a job and a time for money exchange? Are you on the journey to self-employed where you're, you know, treating it a little bit more seriously, a little bit more like a business, but it's still dependent on you? Or are you moving to that B, business owner system quadrant? That's the goal. Takes time, right? Still on the journey myself. I've shared that last time we talked about this. Was very much in the self-employed quadrant. We're slowly graduating into the B-type business system. And it'll probably be another year or two before I can confidently say, hey, we've really got this all humming together. That's okay, right? Because I know it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. But every day we're doing little things, hiring the right people and putting the right systems in place to turn it into that. So the other book and the other person I want to hit on is a guy named Michael Gerber. He wrote a book called The E-Myth Revisited. And he basically broke this down into kind of one of three things. And then I'm going to go through a couple other things here. I'm not just going to talk all about people and books this whole time, I promise. I'm just giving you the Chris notes, right? You don't even have to read the book. I'm just giving you the Chris notes. I'm kidding. Read or listen to the book. In the E-Myth, Michael Gerber basically uses an example of a girl that opens a bakery. And what he says is everybody falls into one of three roles. And I think this one's going to be even more applicable to the painting industry here than Kiyosaki's example. But basically he says you're one of three roles. You're the technician, right? You're in the field, you're doing everything every single day. And in the book example, the girl was a baker, right? She worked for a bakery. She was a technician. She was really good at baking cakes and pies and everything. And then sometimes you'll move up into a management role, right? Where you have some responsibility. You're overseeing crews. You have a little more freedom, but a lot more responsibility, right? Typically an increase in pay. In the book, I don't remember the exact example. Let's just say she's running the bakery for someone else, right? She's in that management role where she's overseeing things, but it's still not theirs, right? It's still getting a W-2 paycheck from somebody else, right? Still no risk and no reward, right? You're moving up, but you're still not where you want to be at. And then the last one, and all of these have strengths and weaknesses, so there's no good, bad, right, wrong, or indifferent. But the last one's the entrepreneurial mindset, right? And this is somebody that starts to see what I'm going to go through here today is the bigger picture, right? They're the entrepreneur. They're the visionary. They're the person that really is going to, you know, have the ideas and see everything through and lead and orchestrate the people, keep an eye on the finances and project out the finances for growth, right? And they're running all of it. And they're going to hire the technicians. They're going to hire the managers. That's a true entrepreneur right there, okay? And I use this example for one main reason. Most journeys we see in the painting industry start as somebody that was a technician, maybe turned manager, maybe turned entrepreneur, right? I would say there's two paths. I'm doing another training here in Toronto the end of March for the sales reps for Sherwin-Williams up there in Canada. And I use this analogy when I spoke in Green Bay and did the same thing for their local market in November. There's two paths into the industry. You either come from a painting background, and you eventually grow it to own your own business, right? Which is kind of the more traditional path. Or you're a business owner mindset and you come into the industry because you see the opportunity here and you learn how to paint second. Or maybe if you're like my good friend, Brad Ellison, I don't want to say Brad doesn't know how to paint, but he doesn't pick up a paintbrush very often. Let's just put it that way. I saw him at Paint It Forward on Friday. He reminded me the last time he picked up a paintbrush was last Paint It Forward last year. There's nothing wrong with that, right? I love seeing that mindset of people. I came into the industry business first, for those of you guys that know my background. I learned the craft over time because we kind of had to as student painters, but I came into it business first, craftsman second, right? And again, there's no right or wrong way, but I love the E-Myth example because it's the really what the whole premise of the book is it takes a lot of work to go from technician to manager to entrepreneur, or maybe technician straight to entrepreneur for some of you guys. So I say that to say this, don't give up on it. Don't be like, oh, this is a lot of work. Oh, maybe this isn't right for me. I should have just stayed to be a technician. No. Give yourself some grace that it's going to take time, that it's going to take time to build and to grow and to get where you want to be at. But guess what? You're in the best spot ever because you're listening to podcasts and growing yourself. Notice I didn't say my podcast. You're here in the world of education. And if this is the first one you've ever listened to and I let you down, please listen to another one of ours or listen to somebody else's. Go to Paint Ed's podcast for those of you guys that are on there. Or maybe if you're on ours, hop over to Paint Ed. You'll hear a lot of other great ones. But you're in the right spot because it takes time, right? When I started Elite Business Advisors in 2018, I was a technician all the way up until April. And we were joking about the other day, May 1st of last year, 2023, 5 years. Chris was a technician in Elite Business Advisors. He was also the entrepreneur and the manager, but he was a technician, right? And over the last year, I've slowly been working my way out of all the day-to-day stuff that's integral to me to focus on the business and hiring the right people. It takes time. It's a path, right? It doesn't happen overnight. And I'm going to be transparent, right? If you met us at the trade show last week and you thought that we were this huge, massive company that has like 500 clients and, you know, we only had 3 of us there, sorry, you're wrong. I'm not going to lie to you. I want our company to sound as big and everything as it is. But guess what? Like, I'm super happy and proud of where it is and the advisors we have and the clients we have. There were so many gratifying moments last week. It was very humbling in a lot of different ways for me. But man, we got so much we're still working on too, right? We're all on this entrepreneurial journey together. And what was cool last week was, man, I got a lot of good friends, both industry partners that we're aligning partnerships with for you guys, and also clients and also other friends in the industry. We all get to lock arms together and do life together, right? Do entrepreneurial life together. So like, I'll always be honest with you and tell you exactly where we're at. So here's the, I'm going to say 5 things that I want to break down here in the next 5 to 10 minutes to kind of hit home on the mindset of an entrepreneur. Number one, collaboration over competition. And a true entrepreneur understands how to collaborate versus we have competition. This is a hard mindset to change because for a lot of our lives, we've had the scarcity mindset. You got to get everything you can. And while I do agree, there's a time and a place where you got to make money, you got to put food on the table. The more you can collaborate with people, man, the better everybody is together, right? Whether it's from networking and referral aspects, whether it's, we've shared a story before and I shared it a lot last week. Shane Fast for New Painting of the Carolinas, huge shout out to those guys. They won interior residential project of the year during the PCA Industry Awards. I'm so proud of them and their team. Shane and I met at a Sherwin-Williams here in St. Louis. He's the one that taught me the collaboration over competition mindset. He didn't know it at the time. He didn't sit down and sketch it out on a piece of paper. But guess what? Shane taught us how to paint kitchen cabinets. He's like, hey, man, I'll show you. Right? Maybe because he knew he was moving to the Carolinas at some point. I don't know. But he taught us how to paint kitchen cabinets. We collaborated. We worked on projects together. He had a project that was a little too big for him, so we brought my team in on it. We had a couple of things we needed his help on. Like, we learned to collaborate, and I see that carry over, and that's one of my favorite things I love about being at a week like last week at PCA. So many people understand collaboration over competition. It's amazing to watch. And so if you're an entrepreneur, you get that. Yes, everybody has competition. I'm putting that in your air quotes for those of you guys not watching on video. Competition. But at the end of the day, you collaborate. You make a lot more progress when you collaborate than things you lose out on when you view everybody as competition. Don't worry about what people are around you doing. I'm going to say this as humble as I can, and I don't mean this offensively to any other coaches in the industry if you happen to listen to this. I am so dead set on what we're doing and how we're doing it and the route we're doing it and everything that I don't worry about anybody else that's coming into our space or that's in our space, right? I know we all focus on different things. I know we all have our own niches. We all have our target, you know, markets for size of business and residential and commercial. Like, there's differences, right? But even the handful of people that I know, we're all kind of like looking for the same ideal client. I don't worry about it because I know there's enough room in this space for a lot of us, right? And I'm also so bought in and again, not arrogant, but confident in what we're doing and the feedback we got on so many things last week. I'm not worried about it. I'll collaborate with any of these guys. Mike Gore Hickman and I talked for a little bit after Expo last week. We want to get together and collaborate on stuff. I know that we can all be better together, right? Mike, if you're listening to this, follow up about that. The second thing, big picture focused. We have to be big picture focused as entrepreneurs. If we focus on the day-to-day and I am 100% guilty of this, okay? So I'm going to talk to myself here. I'm just going to pretend the camera on my computer is a mirror for a second. If we're so focused on the day-to-day tasks that we have to do for our business, we don't think about the big picture. We don't think about where we're growing and how we grow there. We're so focused on every little menial task. We're never going to get there. Right? I'm so excited to get back from Expo. We had a great debrief with the team this morning. I can't wait to start planning out the next 6 months because there's a lot of amazing things coming that nobody knows about in a lot of different ways, actually. I need to sit down and start strategically planning, like, what's next, right? Where are we going after this, right? Step one was like get through Expo. Step two was like plan for the rest of 2024 and 25. I can't wait to sit down and start thinking big picture on where our business is going and what we need to get there, right? That next step. I have to make sure that my mind stays there and that time ends up in my calendar so that I can sit down and do that. Because if I just get consumed with day-to-day tasks, Sherwin-Williams events are starting up. I got my first event. You guys are listening to this on a Tuesday on our channel. Tomorrow with my good friend Nick Slavic here in St. Louis, we're doing the pro show together for Sherwin-Williams. I'm so excited. We've been trying to collaborate for 2 years on an event. We finally get to do it. I'm going to be traveling every 2 weeks for like the next 3 months. I have to make sure that I stay big picture focused and take time to plan out our business and where we're going. And if I get sucked into all the little email follow-ups and this and that and little tasks and little things, I'll never make time for it. So you got to work on your business. Point number three, delegation. I learned last week at PCA Expo, I still suck at delegating. Now, I could sit here and justify it 10 ways from Sunday and say, well, but that makes sense because your whole team is virtual, right? You finally get in an in-person atmosphere and you don't know how to delegate. You don't do it every day. Yeah, you're right. But delegation is delegation, right? I realized, I don't even remember what I was doing, but finally Jess and Andrew looked at me. I think it was when we were breaking down the trade show and they were like, well, you just leave and go to the happy hour. We got this. And I think I'd made a comment the other day about I sucked at delegating. I suck at it sometimes. I'm trying to get better. It takes time. It takes practice. Jess has been with me for almost a year now and I'm still remembering how to figure it out, right? I have an amazing executive assistant. We have great people around us and I still have to make it a priority of like, what should you be doing with your time and what are the things you can surround yourself with people to do, right? It's what you pay them for. Again, big picture mindset. I can do this all myself, not make a lot of progress, or I can pay somebody to do this, but then get us 10 feet or 10 miles farther down the road, you know, and focus on that, right? Short-term versus long-term mindset. I could have made that a whole nother point. So you got to delegate. All right. Know what you're good at. Know what your strengths are. Again, give yourself some grace. You're going to suck at it. Again, there was something, I don't remember what it was. I was doing something last week and I was like, this is stupid. I have my whole team here. And I was like, yeah, you guys go relax. It's fine. I got this. Yeah, I don't want to work them to death. But at the same time, like it was, and then that's when Jess stepped in. So thanks, Jess. I appreciate that. The fourth thing, this is a huge book I've been talking about a lot lately. It's called Who Not How by Dan Sullivan. As entrepreneurs, we have to hire the right who's. And by who, I don't mean Cindy Lou Who or her mom. I mean the right people for the right seats in the job. Because there's going to be times you're going to hire someone. And there's going to be times where you need a who. And there's going to be times where you need a how. And let me explain the difference here. Again, the Chris Notes version of this book. A who is somebody that you can empower, you can trust. They can take something, they can run with it. They can build the systems. You give them the framework. And they can just crush it and have authority over it, right? You still have to oversee them. Don't get me wrong. You have to make sure they're aligned with your company, but they're a really intelligent person that you can hire. And I'm grateful that we've hired Jess and Andrew as both amazing who's at our business compared to the how I'll talk about in a second, that you can give them the framework and they can run with it. They can find ways to make it better and they'll do it 10 times better than you probably ever would have yourself in some ways. I'm still better than them, but I'm kidding. I have a lot of clients that need to find a who for a project manager because they're not good at it themselves. They don't even know what systems to put in place and it just doesn't come natural to them, right? They need to find a who that can work with us and with the entrepreneur, with the, you know, our client and build out these production systems they need and just own production, right? You're going to pay more for a who, but guess what? It'll be better worth it on the long run. And then there's the house. Where you say, hey, we have everything lined out, all of the SOPs, everything you need. We just need somebody to come in and learn this stuff, right? And I think it also works. This is very applicable to painters. For those of you guys hiring painters, you're going to look for some who's that you need somebody to come in with the experience that understands how to cut in and run a project and take over a crew lead spot. You're going to need a who at sometimes. And you're also going to need some hows. Hey, I just need a job site helper that doesn't even know how to hold a paintbrush that can grow within our company because we have everything lined out. We have the systems to support them. We have the pathway for them to grow and we have the leadership to make it happen, right? There's a difference, but you need to know when you need a who and when you need a how. And the last point, you're always going to be an owner in your company, obviously, unless you sell it. You're always going to be an owner. But then you're also going to have defined roles within your company. And you have to remember that there's times where you have to put your owner hat on and there's times you have to put your estimator hat on or your project manager hat or your office admin hat or your HR hat. You're always going to be an owner, but then you're going to wear a lot of other hats in your business. Matt and Maggie Kuiper made a great comment during our marriage panel on Thursday that I moderated, which was so much fun. Shout out to you guys, Ryan and Danny Turry, Christian and Angelina Militello. That was amazing. Thank you guys for taking time to do that. But Matt and Maggie made a comment about, I think we're talking about differencing of opinions. And basically they made a comment along the lines of, we have our owner hat that we put on to make certain decisions, right? And then we have to go down and put our day-to-day roles and our company hats on, right? Whatever that means for them and whatever that means for you, right? You're always going to be the owner. But there's going to be times you're also going to be the sales manager. And maybe you're the project manager too. And maybe you're the office manager, right? Maybe you got somebody answering phone calls. You're going to wear a lot of different hats. And everybody thinks, oh, I hire one person. Well, that solves it, right? I hire an estimator. No, because now you're the sales manager too. You don't just get to be the owner. You're the owner and the sales manager, right? Until you have a sales manager to oversee your salespeople, well, then now I can start to justify it's you to the sales manager, right? So keep in mind that as you grow your business, you're always going to have the owner role. You have to always do what's best for your business and what's best for you and your family personally, or you and or your partners if you're in a partnership. But at the end of the day, you're going to be going through making decisions that affect your sales manager hat, your project manager hat, all the different things I've already mentioned. So just keep that in mind that there's a big difference between being an owner and wearing all the hats that you wear in your business and the intricacies of that, right? And the decisions that you made and who you bring in on decisions, right? There's a lot of things I bring Jess and Andrew on decisions that affect all three of us. And there's a lot of decisions I have to make myself because it's all about the company and it doesn't as much as we're all a team, as much as I want them to always feel like this is their business, and I genuinely mean that, like we are all in this together. But at the end of the day, it's my company and I have to make decisions that I feel like is best for our company that may or may not affect them, right? And I do as much as I can to bring them in on it. But at the end of the day, I have to make an owner decision just as much as a advisor manager position. So that was a really weird term. I should probably come up with a better term for that moving forward. So I hope this helps you guys. I wanted to do this again. There were so many talks about mindset, so many nuggets, so many things. Again, we've kind of been building out a new talk for Sherwin here. I just wanted to highlight some key points on. And really truthfully, you're never going to arrive. You're always going to be a work in progress, right? Give yourself some grace on that. But at the end of the day, continue trying to have the mindset of an entrepreneur, diving into podcasts, coming to events like PCA Expo last week, collaborate with your peers and other individuals, find a community, whether it's here with us at Elite Business Advisors or somewhere else out there, find a community of people you can do life with together, because iron sharpens iron. And Nick Slavik gave one of the most humbling talks I've ever heard in my life. And I have chills just thinking about it right now. And I know the emotional effect it had on me and thankfully 80% of the room. But man, lock arms with your friends, because you're all going to need each other at some point. And when you can do this together and you can all build together, it's going to make it that much more rewarding. So I hope you guys have a great day. Promise, come back next week. I'll have a little bit more of a planned out episode. I hope all that flowed together well. And we will catch you guys next week. I hope you enjoyed that episode and were able to take away a few nuggets to implement into your business. My advice would be to pick one thing to focus on implementing and make a note in your calendar for a couple weeks out to work on anything else that you heard in today's episode. Sometimes if we focus on too much, we actually focus on nothing at all. Here at Elite Business Advisors, we're huge supporters of the PCA, the Painting Contractors Association. And if you're not familiar with the PCA and all the benefits of membership, I highly recommend you check it out at www.painted.org. Yes, it looks like painted.org. And last but not least, if you're looking to take your business to the next level here in 2024, schedule a free business analysis meeting with us at www.elitebusinessadvisors.com. We work with painting contractors all over North America to help them treat their business like a business. Our entire team of advisors all have experience in owning and running a painting company just like myself, so you aren't just getting a team teaching off a theory, but tried and true application of principles and systems like we share here in the podcast. Thanks so much for listening in today. We appreciate your support and we'll see you back next week.